one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Turn your Bible to the book of John. If you tonight were to go to the Bible, and that'd be the only place you could find that story and record and resemblance and reminder of what Jesus was, what would be the chapter that you'd pick out to reveal more about Jesus than any other chapter in the Bible? Where would you stop? 10th chapter of John? That's the chapter where he said, I'm the door. That's the way you get in, isn't it? He's the door. If you want to go to heaven, you got to go through the door. And just like there's one door in the ark, there's one door of salvation, not the Virgin Mary, not the Catholic priest or pope or the Church of Christ, the Baptist Church. It's Jesus Christ. He's the door. He said, I'm the door. I'm the door. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Neither thy salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You be sure of one thing. If you go to heaven, you'll go through Jesus. You won't go any other way. You won't go through your good works. Best you can do is filthy rags in the sight of God. And where would you stop? You know where I'd camp tonight? It'd be the 17th chapter. Where really is the Lord's Prayer in the Bible? John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I guess back in the days of Jesus, they didn't have machines to take a cardiograph of the heart. And they didn't have any, I guess, modern medicine. And may I remind you again that where there's modern medicine, there's modern sickness. Wherever you find science, modern science, you find modern sin. We've tried to substitute science for the Savior. It don't work. I was walking down the street, and somebody had a newspaper laying there, and I just saw the headline. It said that astronauts are fit for the blast-off. I mean, that means they're already. They're fit. You know what I thought when I saw that? I said, praise the Lord, this astronaut's ready to blast off, too. I really did. I just kind of rejoiced. I said, once they can't go very high, I'm going all the way. Ah, man's not half as smart as he thinks he is. You know, we've gotten away from the Bible faith that God would have us to have. You know, I heard about a little boy, and we major a good deal on discipline around here, and people wonder, said, how do you ever get the girls to memorize Scripture? Make them. They don't just wake up 3 o'clock in the morning memorizing Scripture. We don't ask them, say, honeys, would y'all like to memorize a chapter? We just say, get at it. You better know it. I mean, that's just the way Granny is. I mean, and she just tells them, you know, and you might as well get you. I mean, there's no magic way to do it. And you'd say, well, how do you get them memorize all those songs? Just work at it. On the negative side, we take television away. No rock and rolls around. Not a bit. That's poison. You mothers and dads, you got rock and roll records in your home, you just might as well get you about a dozen rattlesnakes and throw in there with your kids. I'd rather be bitten by a rattlesnake any time than be bitten by rock and roll. It'd ruin my mind. All a rattlesnake do, just give me a ticket to glory. That's right. Oh, stupid mothers and dads. Stupid mothers and dads. Wondering what's wrong with the kids. And I tell you, one of the things it's doing, And I noticed I got a call from a Baptist. He said, "Now, Brother Olaf, would you preach a meeting in our church?" I said, "Yeah, y'all need one." I said, "It wouldn't make me any difference. I don't care whether you're independent or fundamental or Southern Baptist, Northern, Eastern, or Western. It won't make a lot of difference to me." Well, he said, "I'll admit we need a revival." And I tell you, when the Southern Baptists get desperate enough to ask me to come and preach a revival, they're getting humble. But it don't make a lot of difference, really, what you tag your brand. I had a little conference with a Catholic couple, and they said, "We'd like for you to come and help marry us in the Catholic Church. We got a lot of things going on in this old world." I've been praying for a little couple. I might have some more conferences with them. I said, "How are you going to agree to bring up your children?" "Oh, they've got to be brought up Catholics. Already signed them over." As far as I'm concerned, that's just sort of stealing a little baby's second birthright before he's ever born. We're living in some serious days. And I tell you, it takes courage today to stand up for your convictions. You know that? I mean, the old flesh said, "Oh, why don't you just get in with all the rest of them, you know?" Man, all the rest of them not happy. I tell you, God's people need to be true to the Word of God. God didn't tell us to win into popularity contests. Told us to be true to His wonderful Word. John chapter 17. What I started to tell you, a little boy said to his dad, and his daddy had the paddle in his hand, and he just fixed to work him over. And little boy was desperate. He just desperate. He said, "Dad," he said, "did Granddaddy whip you?" He said, "He sure did, son." He said, "Did Granddaddy's daddy whip him?" He said, "He certainly did." And he said, "Did my great granddaddy whip Granddaddy?" And he said, and he went on. Daddy said, "Yes, he did." And he said, "Dad, don't you think it's time for us to quit all this inherited brutality?" Huh? These modern young'uns, you know. You remember the little boy that floated across, the little fella, he and another boy stole a skiff down the way, and they got out in the intercoastal, and the boaters come in, and little rascals took a chance on drowning rather than be caught stealing the boat. So they thought the boat would just cruise along with them, you know, it's just on the drift. So they jumped out of the boat so that if they came up and asked them, they'd just say, "What you doing?" Said, "We're just swimming." But the boat got away from them. And this little fella lost his grip on the skiff and he couldn't swim. And there's just one thing for that little fella to do, and that's drown. Now, I wish I could tell our radio friends how much I appreciate your prayers. Somebody prayed that little booger on his back. And he lay on his back and floated in salt water to the King Ranch shore. And that was nearly a mile. Nearly a mile that little fella floated. He couldn't swim. But he said, "You know, brother taught me how to float." And he came up, and so when he came in, he came up to the rig and said, "Take me to Brother Olaf's place. I'm one of his boys." The man said, "I don't have any boat to get you across there. All I know is just take you in Rivera." So he took him in Rivera, called me on the phone, called the office, and said, "We got one of your boys," or called his mother, and he called me, and we sent a car down there, and somebody went down and picked him up, brought the little old fella in, spent the night here, and next morning came in for the board meeting. The little fella really was pitiful. Got a handsome little old face on him, you know. And I want you to know, when he saw I had in my hand that board, beads of perspiration just jumped up on his face. And he just got so serious, and he said to me, and he learned a little, so he'd only been there a few days. And mother said he's the biggest thief I've ever seen in my life. Said, "Steal anything he's big enough to carry. And then lie about everything." But the little fellow was making his last stand. I mean, Custer was making his last stand. He said, "Brother Olaf, brother said it would help to pray about it." Yeah. Yeah. Well, he learned a little. I said, son, we'll pray immediately after the board meeting is over. And, listen. Wouldn't it be fine if little boys like that had a daddy that'd pray with them and help them? Isn't it pitiful that we've got so many little fellas like that adrift in a devilish world with nobody to rescue them and help them? I mean, to me, it's just so sad to see little girls and already hooked on dope and immorality and all the things of the world. No wonder Jesus died of a broken heart. You reckon he saw this far down the road? I guess he did. Reckon what he's weeping about over in the cemetery at Bethany. And, well, let's read the 17th chapter. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. That's one of the greatest challenges in the Bible, right there. That's one of the greatest facts and the greatest truths in the Bible. You know the battle we face? It's just one. That's a battle with the flesh. You haven't got any other battle. Don't ever ask me or ask anybody if they're having any trouble with the flesh. That's all you could have any trouble with. I mean, that's the battleground. You'd say, well, I'm not having any trouble with my flesh. Well, you must be in heaven and don't know it. What are you talking about? Now, I know there are various forms and demonstrations and revelations of the flesh. I know that. I mean, all of you may not have the same difficulty in the flesh. I think if a man's having trouble and just loving money, that's flesh. That's flesh. If you're having trouble just longing to look just right and maybe look like the world, that's flesh. That's when I'm against a miniskirt. Woman said, now, Brother Olof, my little old girl will be coming, but said, we haven't got one dress for her to wear that's fit to wear. I'll just have to stop and buy some somewhere, because she hadn't got a decent thing. Her daddy told me, said, I've been telling her that all the time. Little Casper milk toast. Why don't you men just go ahead and tell them what they got to do about it? And do it in the name of the Lord and lovingly and tenderly and get it all straightened out, see? Let little girls just kind of run the household. Little boys run the household. You saw that long-haired hippie brought in here? Man, he done tore up a bunch of stuff. You know what the mother said to me? Sitting right there, tears rolling down her cheek. She cried all during the service and cried sitting back in the living room as we talked with that precious little old boy. You know what she said to me? Brother Olof, the day he started letting his hair grow, we lost him. His conduct changed right there. I didn't say that. That's what his mother said. And I said, son, are you ready for the barber? And he said, yes, sir. If that's what it's going to take to help me, I'm ready. He's in real serious trouble now. And he's knocking on the prison door. Mothers and dads, why don't you set the example and set the standards and the rules and the regulations of your home, and your children will rise up and call you blessed one of these days. Don't let children who don't know the truth run the household. Now, you know what Jesus said? Father, as thou hast given him power over what? All flesh. Now then, does that include your flesh? Don't you believe yours is a part of the all? Now you know he's talking about, don't you, Christians. This is for Christians. There's no plan of salvation in this chapter at all. Now, let's get the picture. Jesus is standing in the shadow of the old rugged cross. It's all over now. I mean, the virgin birth is over. His earthly life is just about over. His miracles are just about over. There's one great thing he's got to do now, and he's standing there ready to do it. And you'll find out what he says in this chapter. He's standing ready now. I mean, he's ready for the hammer to fall. He's ready for the nails to pierce. He's ready for the spear to be thrust into his side. And now then, he's praying one more prayer, and he's praying for the people that were Christians, and he's praying for me. I promise you, he's praying for you. He did everything but call your name. And he might as well call your name because he included you in the prayer right here. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus, that every prayer he ever prayed will be answered? Do you believe that Jesus ever prayed outside the will of God? If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it'll be done for you. All right. Jesus was the Word. How could he pray outside the Word? Now then, he's going to pray for something in the 17th chapter, and I want to see what he's praying for. And if it includes me, then I've got some real prospects of getting somewhere with God and for God. And so he said, you've given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life. I like this third verse. And this is life. What kind of life? Eternal life. This is eternal life. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. There's been many, many people that spent the day at the old racetrack up here today, but it's over now. It's over. The gasoline's been burned, and the old cars have been wrecked, and somebody might have been killed, and people have been injured, and folks lost their money, and they bet, and they drank, and they live like the devil, but I guarantee you they've gone home tonight, many of them with a heavy heart, empty pocketbook, and a disappointed life, and will face Monday morning as old Blue Monday in the morning. That's not eternal life. That may be life for a little bit, but not for long. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What a wonderful picture, that you might know the only true God. How are you going to know him? Through Jesus Christ. Where did he come from? Been sent. I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Have you ever run the references in the concordance on the word finished? The Bible said so the wall was finished because they had a mind to work. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've finished it up. Jesus hung on Calvary's cross and said, it's finished. You know, that's the reason I had to correct the young man the other night that was a Catholic. He said, I believe I'll have to go to purgatory. I've got to go finish it up. I've got to go suffer for my sins. I'm going to have to pay for my sins. Oh, I wish I could get you girls. Why, how in the world, how could you believe that kind of stuff? Well, Jesus said it's finished. How could you die and hang between heaven and hell and pay for anything? I resent that because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And I wouldn't give anybody credit for paying for any of my sins except Jesus Christ. Not including, and that includes me. I can't do one thing, not by works of righteousness which I've done. This whole world, so, you know there's only two plan of salvations in the world. You know what they are? Salvation by grace, salvation by works. Which one are you taking? Salvation by works will take you to hell. Salvation by grace take you to heaven.
Amen.
I can fellowship with anybody on earth if he really believes 100% in salvation by grace. I would never allow anybody to work with the enterprises that didn't absolutely believe 100% in salvation by grace. And most people don't know what that means. That means that you're saved by grace and you're kept by grace.
Amen.
And you work because you're in grace. And if you don't work, you're a disgrace. Amen? For it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Sure it is. Why, he said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God has before ordained we should walk in them. And so he said, I've finished the work. Now, wait a minute. Notice that singular? Did you notice that? It has no S on it. He didn't finish the works. He left some works here for us to do. But he said, I got the work done. Amen. He got the main work done. And he didn't leave. Now, if you go to the book of John, chapter 14, and look at verse 12, see if it's verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the what? Let's look at that just a minute. What kind? The works! All right. Now, there's a difference, isn't it? The works that I do, He didn't say the work that I do, though. Brother, he came to do a work. You know what it was? To be virgin born, to live without sin, to die the atoning death, to rise again on the third day, ascend to the Father, come back and get his children and trust in him. That's the work he came to do. But he said, verily, verily, I say unto he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And this will stagger you. Greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. Listen, talk about a challenge. Talk about a challenge. With the Holy Spirit in us, the Bible in our hand, and an airplane to fly in, and a radio message to speak to 1 million people every day, I ought to do what Jesus never did speak in his lifetime to as many people, I suppose, as I've spoken to and as I speak to in one day on the radio. But I tell you one thing, it's going to take more than just an audience. It's going to take the anointing to help the audience. But I'd like for every step to count and every stop to count. And I'd like to stop and start at his command. You remember that old song we used to sing, our little country church said, we'll move at his command. We'll soon possess the land of loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. And that's it. Now then, the 17th chapter again. Finish the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Give me back the glory. I tell you, he'd had everything but the glory. He'd had the glory. Fact is, the glory was coming. He was standing, as I said, at the end of the runway, ready to be crucified. I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. They have kept thy word. It's the greatest thing you'll ever say about a Christian. He kept the word. Now they've known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me. They've received them and have known surely, for sure, that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Now verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now let's let that soak just a minute. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Reverently and humbly, he didn't say now, and I'll comment, he didn't say keep through the Baptist denomination or through the Virgin Mary or the Pope or the priest or their good works. Keep through this those which thou hast given me.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled Revealing Christ in John's Gospel. Now, to receive that message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO2588. We would like to have the call letters to this radio station and also today's date. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around.
The special offer for the month of May is Lighthouse Memories, number 838. To help with shipping and handling, please send $12 for the CD and some of the songs, Looking for a City, Hallelujah, What a Savior, Will Soon Be Done, Amazing Grace, and of course, The Lighthouse. Now to receive the CD, send $12, and we accept credit cards, by the way, and you can call us toll free at 1-800-772-7507 or write to the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Again, the offer is Lighthouse Memories, offer number 838. The address again is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403, or use your credit card by dialing 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, hoping that you'll have a wonderful day. And we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.